Hello and welcome to the Pals Anime Lounge, a podcast where a bunch of pals get together to talk about anime. The pals are Arturo.
Hello, everyone.
And Gozo.
Hello.
And I'm your host, Ace. In today's episode, we are talking about Aikatsu the Movie, which released in 2014. I fancied something light heading towards the end of the year, so this is what we got. It was produced by Sunrise Inc., aka Bandai Namco Filmworks, the studio behind Sergeant Frog, Tiger and Bunny, and Zone of Enders, or ZOE, 2167, Idolo, which we covered previously.
I have no memory of that.
Aikatsu the Movie currently has a My Animalist score of 7.55. Aikatsu Idol Activity is a whole franchise which started life as an arcade game that you insert collectible cards into to help the characters pass auditions in different outfits. It then had four 3DS games, and the series is still ongoing up until there was an anime a couple of years ago. The successor series keep having arcade games. The series that came straight after Aikatsu also had a 3DS game, but the others don't appear to have had any console or handheld releases. So my synopsis for this movie is: an opportunity to become the top idol presents itself, but can Hoshimiya do it? Arturo, what do you have?
Follow our band of idols as they work their way to the biggest concert of their lives.
Angles.
In what is a surely unrealistic depiction of idol life that involves eating tons of sugary sweets, some idols from an idol academy get together with other idols to idol all over the place.
They're going to mob all over the place, are they?
Yes.
Okay, well, we open on a concert, and partway through, it's the whole idol group, and partway through the opening song, they introduce the latest idol to the group. Azura Akari-chan. And she appeared out of nowhere. This is kind of explained-ish later, but anyway.
Yeah, she was conjured by the other girl.
After the song, we cut over to Headmistress Orihime, who is discussing the performance with someone with purple hair named Mizuki. Orihime reveals that she has a new project in line for Ichigo Hoshimiya, the blonde lead of the group, and she also mentions that Mizuki is the top idol and offers her a spot, presumably in the new project. She just says, there's a place for you as well. Which I couldn't tell if in the new project or because Hoshimiya is leaving the group so you can join the idol group.
Mm.
Mizuki reads the proposal and hands it back, saying that if Hoshimiya can pull it off, she'll become the next top idol, which would make Mizuki happy. After the concert, Akari congratulates the others and meets up with her friends, Sumire and Hinaki. You can forget those names. And we're told that all three are in middle school, and it's an honor that Akari would be on stage during a seasonal concert. Akari goes to congratulate Hoshimiya, and they're joined by Orihime, who shows the proposal for the Super Live plan. For some reason, Akari is allowed to be in the room for this super secret thing.
Yeah, at this point, all deals, never mind.
She also wants Kiria and Shibuki, Hoshimiya's closest friends, as producers. You can also forget those names because I immediately did, and I wrote them down. The concert is booked, which is really presumptuous of the headmistress, I have to say. We smash cut to Mizuki, who is looking out over the city, pondering Hoshimiya reaching her level, and then back to the dressing room, where Orihime tells Hoshimiya that she has to choose the event title all on her own. But it's fine, because she's already decided, like, immediately, the Great Star Mia Ichigo Festival.
Isn't Hoshi Star, so they just replaced Hoshi with Star, and it's Star Mia?
I mean, yeah. If you think it sounds strange, so do the others, and they are into it. We get a title card for the Great Star Mia Ichigo Festival. I'm never going to use that name again. We cut to a press conference where Hoshimiya is announcing the concert.
And we learn that a guy named Johnny Bepp came up with the Star Mia thing, which is, and like they take time to credit him, which is stupid because it's a stupid name. And it's like, it's not a big, you don't need to like spend a lot of time to come up with that name. Again, Hoshi means star. You replace Hoshi with star. It's Star Mia.
Yeah, but Johnny Bepp made it English.
Oh, yeah, that makes it all better. English is so posh.
Or to put it another way, as I wrote in my notes, off to the side are Orihime and Johnny Bepp, who looks like Johnny Depp. Bepp is full of himself because he came up with the nickname Star Mia, so feels that this is all a celebration of him. And meanwhile, while he's going on and on, the press conference is going on in the background and we can't hear it.
Wait till Amber Burp hears about it.
A reporter asks why that name was chosen, and one of the producers says that Bepp came up with it. Well, came up with Star Mia, and Hoshimiya asks, is that true? And this gives Bepp an aneurysm.
Who's that guy again?
I thought I came up with Star Mia. Oh, whatever.
Kinkai, I came up with Kaioken, right?
Another reporter asks what's in store for the event, and Hoshimiya tells her that anyone watching will have a wonderful future, which isn't an answer.
I mean, I guess she's just saying the concert's going to be good.
Yeah, but what's going to be in the festival? And you don't even say, oh, we haven't decided, or we're still planning, or we don't want to spoil anything. No, just, you're going to have a wonderful future if you watch it.
Well, exactly, because it's good. Ace, if you're going to play that game, you're going to have a wonderful future while you play it.
It sounds like she would make a great politician. I promise you a wonderful future. Vote for me, Star Mia. 2024.
Make idols great again. We cut to Akari, who has just watched the conference and decides she wants to help make this whole thing special somehow. I mean, it's going to be special no matter if she's involved or not. Then we cut to the Hoshimiya house, where her family are discussing what they've just watched. And then we cut to Hoshimiya and her producers. I refuse to learn their names. And they're at a cafe ordering strawberry parfaits.
And then they proceed to, like, feed her their parfaits, which is like, it's weird, right? Like, the implications are weird.
I thought it was hilarious.
You keep spoiling my notes for this one, Gus.
Sorry, go ahead.
That's also how I get my wife to shut up and stop worrying. Here, have some of my food.
Hoshimiya is concerned that her friends are pushing themselves too much with the added producer work, but they literally keep feeding her until she shuts up.
I mean, it's like, if you know anything about, like, modeling and, like, showbiz, then you probably heard that those girls often starve themselves, and it's like, here, eat those sweets, shut up. It's like they're trying to make her fail, get fat and fail.
They're pretending to be her friends, but they're actually just rivals. Back in Akari's room, she's still thinking up ideas when Hoshimiya and the others arrive. Akari runs down to greet them and asks what's planned so far. So Hoshimiya admits that absolutely nothing is decided yet. Akari offers her services, so is invited to the planning meeting happening right now.
We're having a three-person meeting, and everyone shows up.
Yeah, how does everyone know? Because three more idols arrive, bringing snacks and wanting to help. Then another one turns up, skydiving in, and then another one enters through the door, you know, while everyone's watching the skydiving, so is basically ignored.
And I want to mention that the snacks is a platter of fucking cupcakes. A platter!
A platter of cupcakes, some sushi, and assorted other things.
And then they proceed to feed, force feed Hoshimiya the cupcakes.
Because she won't shut up. She's trying to get through the planning meeting. They just, no, shut up and eat this. We assume, we don't see it. They eat almost everything before finally getting down to planning. The theme they decide upon is setting off for a bright future, because Hoshimiya keeps saying that throughout this entire thing. First thing Hoshimiya decides is that she needs a brand new song. Like, duh. The next day, they go and ask the custodian to write it. Like, we haven't seen the actual show, so this guy might be known for writing songs. We see a flashback of him having been in a band, but currently he is a janitor.
Yeah, in the flashback, he's in a band, he's holding like a mic stand, singing into a mic, and in the present, he's holding a broom, singing into the broom.
He says no, and suggests someone named Canon. So they get in Bep's van and head off, where we get a montage of them traveling while a song by Canon sings. Nope, plays. They arrive at a beachfront, quote-unquote, concert by Canon. I assume she's playing for Loose Change, because, like, she is definitely selling her CDs that she brought from home.
She's, check out my rap video! She's doing that.
Hoshimiya and the producers wait for the crowd to disperse, and then they ask her to write the song. Canon is hesitant, however, as her songs are about her experiences. So Hoshimiya offers to put on a show so that Canon can learn more about her, and then they do. Afterwards, Canon says that she wants to know more about them, about her, so she can write the song. So they go to a cafe and order strawberry parfaits. Hoshimiya talks about herself. Her family runs a bento shop. She became an idol because a friend wanted to. And also she was a fan of top idol Mizuki. Canon says she's heard of Mizuki. Is she popular? No, the top idol surely can't be popular.
Well, she's into the indie scene, clearly. Did you see her hair?
No, she's always wearing a hat.
But she has long hair!
I look at people's hats, not their hair.
Are you telling me that her hair is part of her hat?
It might be.
In some games?
I mean, I think in, like, Lego characters, the hair is the hat. You can take off the hair like a hat.
Canon asks what sort of song she wants, and they want one that inspires. So they say a lot more words. It boils down to they want to inspire. So Canon agrees to do it. Hoshimiya later can't sleep and is thinking about Mizuki when she receives a text message from her. The next day, she meets her on stage at a concert arena as requested. It turns out to be the one where the show's going to be. Hoshimiya asks her to be on stage for the festival, but Mizuki declines the invitation as she's considering quitting being an idol.
Oh my god, what? Gasp.
Goes gasp.
Gasp!
Thank you. She feels that she's burnt out, having been top idol for so long, and knows that Hoshimiya will surpass her in the Akatsu rankings after the festival. In fact, she's been waiting for someone to take the title from her, and she knows Hoshimiya is the one to do it.
Yes, yes. So that whole exchange gave me, like, the vibe. She gave me, like, a villain vibe. Like, would you be the one to finally finish me? Gave me the I don't know if you know Metal Gear Solid 4. There's a character, Vamp, who's immortal. And oh, yeah. Raiden fights him, and after they stab each other at the end, he's like, Would you be the one to finally finish me? That's the vibe that I got. In the great battle of idols.
We cut over to the set of Naughty Police Chief, I think that's what it's called, where one of the producers plays the title role. Hoshimiya wanted to tell the producers what Mizuki had said, so grabbed the other one and headed to the set. They discuss Mizuki retiring over tea, blah blah blah. Later, or the next day, it's hard to tell, the group meets up to continue planning the festival. Everyone is assigned specific roles. No, I will not list them.
Yeah, I feel like the timeline is a bit of a problem. Like, they tell Canon to, like, take your time writing the song, and, like, how long do we have? Like, 2 days, five
at
days?
At most, 2 weeks. Like, we see a calendar at one point, and we can assume a few days have passed since they saw Canon. So, yeah, at most, she has two weeks to hand this song in, and so they can learn the damn thing.
And they had, like, 2 months to prepare the whole show, so they were fucking around and eating sweets for a month and 2 weeks, and have 2 weeks left, right?
And then fasting to lose the weight of the sweets. Also imagine the big debut. She's just holding the paper, reading the lyrics to her own song. Wait, sorry, I'm going to play that part again.
Oh, it goes up at that point. Sorry. Do it back. We get a montage as time passes. So this might actually be the scene where we see the calendar. One night in a gazebo, Hoshimiya, a producer, and some lady discuss the dress, and then we get another montage. Like I said earlier, booking the date for this thing and then asking, hey, do you want to do this thing? This is all on the headmistress's head.
I don't know how things work in general, and I don't know how things work in Japan and in general. But I wouldn't imagine that you would put all the responsibility on your talent. Like, you would probably hire people who are specifically trained to do those things, the planning, the costumes, and whatnot.
And this is why you're not an idol manager.
Oh, I'm not Johnny Bepp.
Canon arrives with the song and plays it for Hoshimiya, the producers, and Akari. Hoshimiya likes it, but feels something's missing. She realizes that she wants to get her feelings through to more than just her fans. She wants Mizuki to know how she feels.
So she says we should have Casio keyboard, because something is missing. So we have, like, keyboard playing in the background during the song.
And oh.
That's what she meant.
Canon asks for more details, and Hoshimiya tells us for the 80th time that Mizuki inspired her to become an idol and is so cool and blah blah blah.
Wait, who inspired her to be an idol? Sorry. I don't think I quite got it. Oh, I see. That would also inspire me to be an idol too.
Canon leaves, promising to deliver a better song, and we get another montage. It's a fun nod to the arcade game that they show off outfits in card form. Or at least at this point, I thought it was a fun nod. We'll get to that.
It's a very abstract anime. It's a very abstract reality. It speaks to the younger generation when things are cards instead of things.
It speaks to the Pokemon trading card game generation.
Indeed. I mean, it spoke to the younger generation when that anime was made. Nowadays, they would just have everything on their smartphone. Oh, look at this dress. I have the image here. I can wear that somehow.
Then suddenly it's the day before the concert, but the dress isn't ready. Hoshimiya isn't too concerned, trusting in the dressmaker. However, she is upset that Mizuki hasn't confirmed whether or not she'll be in the audience. Akari decides that she's going to find Mizuki herself. Then there's a brief news report about the festival, because now it's the next day. Surprise. certainly was to me. On stage, everyone is having a last-minute meeting, and the dress still hasn't been made. Akari texts Hoshimiya to say that she's finding Mizuki and she'll be there soon, and I'm not sure they realized she was, like, she wasn't there. Like, it's the whole group of them and the one person who didn't have a specific job and has been hanging around this whole time. They're like, oh yeah, her. We cut to Akari, who is at the agency which represents Mizuki. The only lead they have is that Mizuki wanted to try something she couldn't before. So, drugs and dating. No, actually, it turns out that there's a list, which is mainly food items. One of which is eat a parfait. So there might be something to you saying about them always eating these extra large parfaits. We get a montage of Akari checking some of the locations. Back at the arena, some of the idols offer to go and get the dress, because their appearances are later in the show. Back with Akari, she's tied up and forced to jump out of a tower. Okay, so she goes to check out bungee jumping, and is forced to go next. But it's all for the best, as Mizuki is there also jumping at the exact same time. Does not seem safe to me.
Also, like, the structure that they jump off. It seems weird to jump off of.
Imagine bumping against the other bungee jumper.
I would, like,
high
my
speed high five.
My main concern was bumping against the base of that structure, because it was like it's hard to describe, but it's like a tower, but the base like spreads out.
It's much wider towards the bottom. Yeah. Like not gradually wider like the Eiffel Tower. It's
yeah,
like a couple of meters down, it starts getting out.
Yeah, it you could compare it to Eiffel Tower, and yeah, the bit where that's under the plank from which they jump is like it's like cut out, but there's still the base on the sides. You could like easily bump against that and kill yourself.
Especially when you deflect off of the other person who's also jumping at the exact same time.
Sure, sure. Hopefully it's tall enough so we don't have to worry about a third thing hitting the ground.
It's tall enough and the bungee line is short enough. At the arena, everyone is getting seated in the dressing room. Hoshimiya and the producers are joined by some rival idols, I think, one of whom threatens arson.
Oh, I missed that. That's funny.
It's probably more of an encouragement, but I'll set this festival on fire is, you know, pretty specific.
Maybe it's the equivalent of I'll rock your socks off.
Oh, I'll set this place metaphorically on fire.
You know, again, it's speaking to the younger generation who use the fire emoji. That thing is fire!
The festival begins with a song by Hoshimiya. Next, there's a song by Hoshimiya and the producers. And then between that and the next song, we see the idols who are going to get the dress cards from the dressmaker. I didn't realize that the dresses were, like, the dress cards were the dress. Because we saw her actually sewing physically a dress, and then she's like, here's the cards, and they're like, got it.
She's like, fuck it, I'm not making that dress. Here, printed out some cards, take it. and they're too dumb to realize that the drawing of a dress does not equal dress.
We then get another two songs, and then back to the dress idols as they base jump. And I've no idea how they think this is the fastest route back to the stadium. And even they admit they might not make it. So, anyway.
Yeah, I assume that they had to climb a mountain to get to the grandma who was sewing the dress. But yeah, out of context, it's like, yeah, we took a detour. We're base jumping.
The show transitions to its drama phase with a special stage show of naughty detectives thieves stole a crystal microphone. It's fun. I enjoyed that.
Yeah. It came across like a stage play.
Someone calls the dress idols, and why didn't they drive or get a taxi? They're just running through a forest after this base jump. It's like, did you run there and climb the mountain? Or
it's even more hilarious because of how they end up arriving at the thing.
Yeah.
Like we're gonna run down the mountain, then we're gonna base jump off a cliff down into the forest, and we're gonna go through the forest to a helicopter.
To stall for time, instead of being captured by naughty police chief as planned, the two thieves climb to the top of a tower, and I'm not convinced the audience could still see them when they were at the top. Like they had cameras like following them, but even those, unless they were drone cameras, which we saw no evidence of, that they wouldn't have been able to get up as high as they were climbing with this crystal microphone.
Don't worry, they were selling little binoculars at the entrance.
I really appreciate the fact that they just kept acting, though.
Oh, yeah, commitment to the bit.
Yeah, we might die, but, you know, at least the dress will arrive.
The dress idols arrive in a helicopter, adding a thrilling arrest to the end of the drama. Then they deliver the dress cards, to Hoshimiya on stage. Also, at the same time, Akari and Mizuki arrive in their seats. Backstage, Hoshimiya wastes some time talking to Canon to thank her for the song, and then puts on the lilac fairy cord premium rare dress using a gacha machine.
Oh, not only to have the specific card, but you also need to go through a gacha machine to see if you equip it. You roll for initiative.
It teleports her to the stage, and she does her award show thanks speech. Instead of launching into a song immediately, you know, wasting the audience's time. This, I'd be annoyed if I was there to watch some singing and she's backstage having a chat.
I don't know, man. Like, your adrenaline would be like up to the roof because of like the actors almost dying during the stage play bit. You would be like, oh my god, there's more?
She then sings her new song, and at the end, Mizuki says that she regrets almost missing this. The audience is calling for an encore, so Akari tells Mizuki that Hoshimiya is probably waiting for her. Mizuki agrees to go, so long as Akari will go with her. Akari is stopped in the hall by, I think, the custodian from earlier. I don't know, there's very few males in this. They all kind of blended together.
No, it was a different guy that they also cut to reaction shot at one point earlier. It was weird. We don't know who he is.
Oh, I thought he just had different clothes on. Is it racist of me to think that an anime character looks like another anime character?
Sure, let's go with that.
Good. He hands her cards for the Sleeping Aurora cord outfit, and then Mizuki and Akari use the gacha machine and appear on stage. They all sing, and then afterwards everyone is congratulating everyone else when phones start going off. The ranking has changed, and Hoshimiya is the top idol.
And Mizuki drops dead. Oh, yes. You finally puts me out of my misery!
Mizuki takes Hoshimiya and Akari out on stage, now that the stadium is empty. She's happy that she's no longer the top idol, but the song made her reconsider retirement. Hoshimiya gives Akari the crystal microphone, handing her the dream of becoming top idol. Back in the dressing room, everyone is patting Hoshimiya on the back. Mizuki tells everyone to join hands in a circle, and they all cheer, and we get the credits, which takes the form of a pixel art arcade machine, and I was here for it. There is a post-credit scene of Akari and her friends, I'm not looking up their names, on stage cheering for a new day tomorrow. The end. So, was it a good adaptation? of an arcade machine and 3DS games.
In their defense, the cards were there.
The cards were there, the CG dancing bits were there.
They go through the gacha machine.
Yeah, I think it's a fine adaptation.
So, more important, is it a Yata, Nani, or a Baka?
So, I'm kind of torn between Nani and Yata, because, you know, the source material is not like it was giving the people a lot to work with, which I think was pretty good in contrast to what they had from source material. But it was also kind of a nothing burger. So I liked it. I don't know if I'd say people should watch it, but I thought it was okay.
Cool.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Nani because I think it was good all around, but it's just not something for me. I think it's only for people who like this series. Like, no one else probably will get anything out of it.
Okay, I ranked as a Yata. It told a story without bogging things down. It had a massive cast. They just appeared and did things rather than us needing to care about who they are. Other than the main characters. We learned their motivations and stuff. The others were like, oh, I'm a vampire. Okay, bye.
No one cared that she was a vampire.
The songs were decent. The animation was good. There was some stiffness in the CGI scenes, but overall, yeah, I quite enjoyed it. So does it deserve its My Animalist score of 7.55?
Yeah, that sounds like a good one.
Yeah, considering our ranking system, and again, I feel like I'm giving a lot of a pass to this one because the source material was kind of weird. So yeah, I'd say it's actually a pretty good score for it.
Yeah, the movie is not groundbreaking. So yeah, 7.55 is fine. So that brings us to the end of this episode. Thank you for joining me, Arthur and Gus.
Thank you so much for having us.
Thanks.
And thank you for listening to the Pals Anime Lounge, and but yeah, thank you for subscribing wherever you found this episode. You can find more from us on gamegreen.com, finding us on social media, or listening to the Greencast podcast. And until next time, game on.